This morning I invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. There's a story here of the life of Abraham that I would like to draw from this morning. And I know for myself that I look at the life of Abraham as I hold it very high. And he's listed in Hebrews 11 as one of the heroes of faith. And he's a patriarch of old that we look to as one of the stable characters in the books of the Bible. That it's a thread that runs through the history of the earth. That Abraham was a man that was strong in faith and he walked with God. And I think there's some truths that sometimes maybe I forget. That Abraham was flesh and blood, just as you and I are. And he was human, and he was just as prone to failure as what you and I are. And he did not somehow have a lesser amount of the Adamic nature than what you and I had. He was a saint of God because of what God had done for him, not because of some merit of his own. But nonetheless, the life of Abraham is inspiring, and it's one that many times can reveal the test that we face in life and help us to ponder how we would respond if we were tested such as Abraham was. The Bible says that these things were written for our admonition, and they were recorded for our examples that we would learn from the Old Testament examples. And this morning, that's what I want to do. And I'll just simply start by reading Genesis chapter 22, the first 14 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Turning over now to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Beginning at verse 17, Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. We'll stop reading there. But notice this story. Abraham was tested. It says here that God did tempt Abraham, and that simply means that God put a test in front of Abraham. And he gave him instructions to take his only son, the son of promise, in his old age, that took a miracle to bring into the world, and possibly was the one that was dearest to Abraham, to take him to a place where God said, I am not even going to tell you where it is right now, but you start on your journey and then I will tell you where you need to go. It was simply the land of Moriah, but there's going to be a mountain in that land where I will tell you once you are on your way. Abraham obeyed. It says that he rose up the next morning. He was obedient. And it was no small task. He did not quietly try to do this and sneak out of the house late at night or early in the morning without telling anybody. But it says he took a couple of his servants and he went with him. And he took provisions for the task God had outlined for him to do. And we see the faith of Abraham even when Isaac asked him, what about the lamb? We have the fire and we have the wood. What about the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham's response is that God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. We see his continued obedience all the way to the end, where he even took the knife and he raised it to fulfill the command of God. And it was at that point where God intervened. And I believe that shows that the heart of Abraham was to do the complete will of God. And there was going to be nothing standing in the way of him and God, even the promised son of his old age, where it says that his descendants will be like the sand of the sea. And I'm sure there were doubts in the mind of Abraham when he was walking those 3 days, that he was thinking of, if I fulfill the command of God, how am I going to have descendants as the sand of the sea? How is God going to fulfill his promises in my life if I am obedient to what God has for me today? I'm sure there were doubts that way. Well, the phrase out of this chapter that I would like to think today for the title of the message is at the end of verse 12. God told Abraham that I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And the title of the message this morning is a question. Hast thou withheld from God? And I think it's a question that we need to consider as we think of our life and partaking of the Lord's Supper, and how it says in the Scriptures that a man should examine himself before he partake of that bread. And we'll look at that a little later on, possibly. But hast thou withheld from God? Abraham did not withhold from God. There are tests that we may face today. And there may be things that we face that we see no good reason for. even as Abraham, who possibly thought that way as he was gone the way to the land of Moriah. But as we allow God to refine us during those times, then God's will can be done in our lives, and His supreme will can be accomplished in His kingdom. Is God providing opportunities for you to remove things between yourself and Him? Hast thou withheld thyself from God? If thou withheld anything from God? I noticed also that God did not do a lot of explaining in this situation. He did not say that if you will be obedient all the way to the end, there will be a ram caught in the thicket behind you that you will be able to sacrifice. He didn't tell Abraham that. He simply said, gave him a task to do, and by faith Abraham believed, and he obeyed. I believe God wanted to know if Abraham was serving Him because of his promises to him, or if he was serving God because of his love for God. I pondered on this story a bit, and we know that God knows the hearts of men. God knew Abraham. He knew the heart of Abraham. Why did He test him then in this way? Job 42 and verse 2 says, I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. We understand that God knows my thoughts and my heart. No thought can be withholden from God. So then why did God put Abraham through this test? I think there's a couple of reasons. The first is because God made man with a free choice. God has made man with a free will. Even though our heart may be right and good, the test comes when we have to decide for God or for things of our own. God will allow opportunities to come before us to choose self or choose Him. And the vine that is bearing fruit, He purges further that it may bring forth more fruit. I believe another reason is the test of obedience. If we turn to the book of James chapter 2, it talks about that a little bit there. I'd like to read those verses. James chapter 2, verse 21. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. I believe God, after Abraham's faith was put into action, at that point God said, now I know that you do not withhold your son, your only son, from me. How can we withhold from God this morning? In a sense, we are all as Abraham, and God is asking us to take the things dearest to us and go into the land of Moriah, or we could say into the temple of God, or into the holy place of God, and it can be into the closet, as Jesus described, and give it to God. Mount Moriah was the place where the future temple would be built. But it's a place of meeting God. And God is asking us today to take those things that are dearest to us and go meet Him with them and give them to Him. Does God know that the very things dearest to us are not ahead of Him? Or has He led you to the land of Moriah? And you have not raised the knife. You have not performed the sacrifice. You have shed tears because the battle was too hard, and you backed away. The question this morning is, are you holding something from God? Am I holding something from God? Is there a secret in my heart that I do not want to go there with God? Is there an area of your life or an area of my life that you know that God is speaking to me or to you about, but you do not dwell on it so that the Holy Spirit is hushed? Are you holding back possessions that you know mean too much to you and it is hindering Christian growth? Have you convinced yourself that you can handle this and you will not think about losing this possession, so your thoughts simply do not go there? Are you withholding ambitions from God that you have that you do not think on them in your quiet times because you know God may have something to say about it? Ambitions that may have been yours for a long time, but you're not willing to pray about those things and give them to God. Are you withholding fears from God that you have, but you have not brought them to light and surrendered to Jesus? Fears that control you, even though you think it does not. Fear of trusting or a fear of surrender. Fear that God may ask too much of me if I surrender everything to Him. Are you in the land of Moriah, knowing that God is asking you to take the knife of surrender and sacrifice this thing in your life? Or maybe there's failures in your life. Maybe you have talked them into very small failures. I know how that is. I am a human, and I know how that is. It was a small thing. God is asking you and I this morning for all of our life. Every corner of our heart, our mind, and our soul must be open to God. Can God say of you, and can God say of me, "Now I know that thou hast not withheld thy Son, thine only Son, from me"? Can we go out of here this morning rejoicing in that testimony that God can say that of me? Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. This morning we are thinking about our preparedness for partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we see the seriousness of properly examining ourselves. And it brings out here the personal responsibility that we each have in examining our own heart and our own life. It's something that we look inward for, look inward to, and we go to the land of Moriah alone, in a sense. It's just me and God there on Mount Moriah. And in a sense, it's not Isaac that's on the altar anymore. It's me that's on the altar. And it's simply God is asking for us this morning. Verse 31 and verse 32, I believe, is saying that if we properly judge or take care of the things in our own life, we will be free. But if we do not take care of these things, God will continue to chasten us. He will continue to knock on our door. And He will bring things into our life to get our attention, where he will not let us alone until we totally resist Him. I'd like to take our thoughts to a church in Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus said he had something against them. He commended them for some things, but he says that they have somewhat against them because they left their first love. He had to judge them because they didn't judge themselves. I believe this was the same kind of thing where they were holding things or they were holding themselves ahead of God. They were not willing to go to Mount Moriah and take the knife to something that was between themselves and God. Revelation 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. And if he would have stopped there, we would have said, what a beautiful picture of the church, that they were on top of it. But verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And I don't know what it was that was their first love, that replaced their first love. Maybe it was these very points in the preceding verses, where doctrinally they stood strong. And it was in that they felt their stability was, instead of Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, he says, thou hast left thy first love. God was no longer first in their life. And verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Here he is saying that you have replaced your first love with something else. And I think it's very easy in the day and age we live in, with the many things that we have and the many temptations that come to us. And I think Satan is working today as an angel of light that brings a lot of things to us to distract us from the fervor and love that the Christian should have for God and for Him. And I find myself deviating sometimes from the first love that I should have. And I think it's important that we clearly understand that it takes repentance and it takes a change to refocus and get back on the right track again. Well, what is the answer? How can we do this? What is the answer to my tendency, our tendency? It's in every one of us to withhold things from God. I believe Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 and verse 13 has the answer for us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says that, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This morning, here's our answer. Is that we let the Word of God and let His Holy Spirit penetrate, as it says in the end of verse 12. It's a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. And this morning, the answer is to get into the Word of God and let it be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it's my desire this morning to do that. To let God do that, and I trust I have let Him do that. And the question still, I believe God is asking of us this morning, is there anything I am withholding from God? And as we ponder that, and as we consider our life, may God have His way, His Spirit have free course in our life, It's only because of the work of the Spirit the church may go on in its pureness. And we trust that we will open our lives to that. Let's kneel together for prayer.